Title of the message is, Are You a Carnal Christian or a Spiritual Christian? But even before I get to that point, I'd like to kind of go on a little outline. In relationship to a little outline, there's two kinds of people in this world. The outline says, if you have the study notes there in your bulletin, there's the natural or unsaved person, and there's the spiritual or saved person. Within Christianity, there's two kinds of saved people. There's the immature carnal Christian, or there's the mature growing Christian spiritually. Let's go to the first one. Two kinds of people in the world. The natural or unsaved person and the spiritual or saved person. Looking at the natural or unsaved person, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. This is by way of review. It says, But the natural man, that's the unsaved person, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. In fact, it says, For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know him, because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually understood. Unsaved person doesn't get the things of God, doesn't get how a Christian acts and why a Christian acts that way. The unsaved man is in a natural state. The unsaved man or woman is lost in his or her sins. They are estranged from God. He cannot understand at all what the Lord is trying to get across or any of those type of things. He is lost in his sins. He's estranged from God because he has not been born again. He doesn't have the Spirit indwelling in him to teach him these things. I'm looking at the word that is translated natural. It's written out for you there. It's also translated sensual in Jude chapter 19. But here's what that's talking about when it's talking about the natural man. You see if this isn't true. The unsaved person, the natural man, he emphasizes and looks at things through his five senses, seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, and smelling. The unsaved person lives in the realm of his or her senses. Does it feel right, you know? And the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, it's all around me and satisfying those desires, satisfying those senses. It works in the realm of their life. It works in the realm of the religion that they would choose. Because that person is controlled by his or by her desires, he or she. It's what the Bible describes as being on the broad road that leads to destruction. And tragically, there are many that are on that road. There might be some here this morning that are on that road that leads to destruction. Let me just tell you this. If you're finding yourself in the natural or the unsaved category this morning, on this first Sunday of January, it's time to, you know, go to something new. It's time to have new life in Christ. It's time for a new beginning. Because when it says that you're on the broad road that leads to destruction, that means that you're headed towards hell. You're headed towards hell. There's two destinations. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And the fact of the matter is your pardon has been purchased by Jesus Christ. It's available to you. If you reject the pardon, it is on your head. You have been offered the pardon. I offer you the pardon that the Bible offers you in Christ Jesus this morning. Then there's the spiritual person or the saved person, and I hope you find yourself in that category. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, For he that is spiritual judges all things. He tests things. He discerns things. How does he test and discern things? Through the Scriptures. That's what you're supposed to do. And it says, And yet himself is not judged, or is judged of no man. It says, For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may be instructed of him? But we have the mind of Christ. Once you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you get a new way of thinking. You get a new mind. You get a transformed mind. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ has saved me from my sins. It's very simple. It's very simple. John 3:16 through 18 and verse 36. It says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then it says in verse 17, listen to this, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I still remember that tract, and I have several copies in my office yet today. Big letters, big red letters, what do you have to do to go to hell? And you open it, and the tract is blank on the inside. Why? There's nothing you have to do to go to hell. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. The Bible says you're condemned already. You're a born sinner. You don't have to teach little kids to sin. If you don't want to go to that Christless eternity, that place of separation from God, then you need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as I did many years ago. And I'm so thankful that I have my salvation. Aren't you thankful that you have yours? Amen. That brings me to my focus today. Among saved people, there's two kinds of saved people. There's immature or carnal Christians, and then there is the growing or mature Christians. Now look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, and it says, "And I, brethren..." So see, I want you to see that Paul is addressing the believers at Corinth as brethren. He says, "I know that you're saved." But he says, "And I, brothers and sisters in Christ, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as babes in Christ." The word babes is a very interesting little word here. If you look up in the Greek New Testament, it means non-speakers. And so, again, it's talking about little babies. Paul says, "I can't speak unto you as spiritual, but as little babies." And then he says this. He says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Here Paul is explaining that there are two kinds of saved people. There's mature and immature Christians. There's growing Christians and carnal Christians. You know, a Christian matures by allowing the Holy Spirit to teach him and to direct him. And he does that by feeding on the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God uses the Holy Word of God to help us to grow. Problem is there's so many Christians today who don't spend a nickel's worth of time during the week in the Word of God for themselves or studying it at all. And you're going to be stunted in your spiritual growth, because the growing believer walks in the Spirit. And you can't walk in the Spirit if you don't know what God expects of you. It's not possible to walk in the Spirit if you're not in the Word of God. You know, I was reading J.C. Ryle the other day. J.C. Ryle was saved in 1838. He heard Ephesians chapter 2, the whole chapter being read, and he came under conviction and trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior at the hearing of Ephesians chapter 2 being read in church. God called him into the pastorate in England, and so he pastored from 1842 to 1900. He was 80-plus years old, I think 87 years old when he finally retired. But I found this very, very interesting. I posted it earlier this week, but I want you to listen to the words of J.C. Ryle, and this will tell you whether you're a growing Christian or not, okay? "The ways and fashions and amusements and recreations of the world have a continually decreasing place in the heart of a growing Christian." He does not condemn them as downright sinful, nor say that those who have anything to do with them are going to hell. He only feels that they have a constantly diminishing hold on his affections and gradually seem smaller and more trifling in his eyes. You know, we need to understand something. The carnal Christian has a life that is occupied with the things of the old nature, the things of the flesh. And they have very little interest in the things of the spirit. Now, nobody blames a baby for being a baby. Nobody blames a baby for being a baby. But when you've been saved for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, and 20 years, and you're still sucking the bottle, you know, you're still drinking the milk, can't stand the strong stuff, you don't really, you know, oh, Sunday mornings are good enough for me, you know, you're still sucking the bottle, there's a problem. And the Apostle Paul, that's what he's talking about there. Paul was the Corinthians' spiritual father. He was their spiritual father. How do I know? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "In Christ Jesus have I begotten you through the gospel." He led most of the Corinthians to the Lord Jesus Christ. He established a church there. He spent 18 months ministering to them in Corinth. And Paul tried to feed his spiritual children the right things and help them on to maturity, as we should do in a family. But the problem was they were not maturing. They never got away from the bare, simple truths of the Scripture. See, primarily the church, in the church services, it is not to teach you the very basic truths of the Scripture. A pastor's job, as Michael and I were talking about this morning, is to be able to teach Christians how that they might be able to grasp the Word of God and the truths of God and grow to the point where they can disciple others and they can do the work of the ministry. The primary thing of the church is not to do soul winning in the morning service, not to do soul winning in the evening service. That's to be done by each of us individually during the week, where we go out from this place and we try and reach people for the cause of Christ. Now, I do want you to bring your unsaved friends and relatives in. You know I always give an invitation and try and explain the gospel. But Paul says they never got it. As newborn babes, as 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, they desired the sincere milk of the Word. The word sincere means it's unadulterated. It was the pure milk of the Word of God. I remember my children, my grandchildren. Oh, they couldn't wait to nurse. Sometimes they wanted to nurse every 2 hours. They wanted that sincere. They desired that sincere milk of the Word. But why? Nobody blames a baby for being a baby. That milk is needed to be able to help them to grow. The problem is, and I believe that my grandmother told me this, but it gets a little bit embarrassing. There was a young boy who went to kindergarten, and my grandmother told me the story, and told me through my mom, but he'd go to kindergarten, come back home from kindergarten, and drag his mom behind the door and want to nurse even in kindergarten. He's way too old to still be on milk. Way too old to be still on milk. A lot of you been Christians 1, 2, 3, 5 years. Are you still being bottle fed? Are you still being breastfed? Are you still just on the milk? Are you still just on the basics? Or have you dug into the Word of God? And are you putting off the old man? And are you putting on the new man? And are you making strides to reach others for the cause of Christ? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. And the Apostle Paul is talking about Well, I should take that back. We don't know that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. It's my speculation that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I don't know for sure. We'll know when we get to heaven. If we get to ask questions, that'll be one of the questions that I'll ask, okay? But in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, it says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered." It was difficult to talk about these things, and one of the reasons was, "Seeing that ye are dull of hearing." They did not want to listen. It says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers." You know, there's some who come and sit and soak and sit and soak, but they never minister. What is your ministry? And what is your ministry in the local church? While you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Back again to the milk, just the milk again. Salvation and assurance of salvation, all those milk things. "And are become as such as have a need of milk and not strong meat." Look at verse 13. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness." Is unskillful in the word of righteousness. What's the word of righteousness? Right here, it's the book. You're unskillful in the book. Do you know the book? "For he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." I'm glad when I go home, my wife isn't going to get me a big glass of milk and set it right there and say, "There you go, David, lunch." Not me. I'm looking forward to, she labored this morning, let me tell you, I'm looking forward to pork chops. I'm looking forward to scalloped potatoes. I'm going to have some broccoli and cauliflower. Oh, man, I got to quit talking about it. I'm getting hungry. But the point of the matter is, "But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those," look at this, "who by reason of use." You know, a Bible that's, you know, really kind of in bad shape, pages are coming out, it's all highlighted and underlined, usually belongs to somebody who's got it together for the Lord. Why? By reason of use. I'm just saying, I got one Bible that I ran through and I had it rebound. I got another one that I ran through and rebound. I'm on another one now. I keep those because I got all my notes and all my things in, but what does your Bible, look pristine? I know maybe some of you don't believe in marking in your Bibles. Well, that's fine. I hope you got notepads full of notes and that sort of things that you use. But by reason of use, they have their senses exercised, what? To discern both good and evil. See, very clearly, the carnal believer engages in self-centered strife. They think Christianity is all about them. It's about me. It's about what I want. It's about how I am served. That isn't what Christianity is all about. It's about how you serve God and how you serve others. It's about how you minister to others. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "Among you is envying and strife and divisions." It's interesting to have grandchildren. Children are selfish, and if left to themselves, they get involved in all sorts of strife with others. That's why they need supervising parents. That's why they need babysitters if the parents aren't around. Somebody has to watch. Why? They're kids. And kids are always bickering and fighting, you know, "I want that toy." Not picking on him, but two of my grandsons were fighting over a toy just recently at the house. They were fighting, jerking back and forth, and you know what? But you know, there's bickering and complaining and moaning and groaning oftentimes in Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I want to tell you, if you are pulling for the cause of Christ, you can't be kicking. And if you're kicking, you can't be pulling. So are you kicking or pulling? It's interesting. When a mule is pulling, can't be kicking. When a horse is pulling, can't be kicking. When a horse is kicking, it can't be pulling. And it's the same way with Christians. You know, we see this. Carnal Christians act more like unsaved people than spiritual people. How do I know that? Well, look at verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 3:3. It says at the end of the verse, "Are ye not carnal?" Now watch this little phrase. 1 Corinthians 3:3. "Are ye not carnal and walk as what? Men." Walk as men. In other words, they behave. They behave like they're unsaved. They're saved. Paul calls them brethren. But they get their feelings hurt so easily. You know, do you know what such and such said to me? You know what? If you wear your feelings on your shirt sleeves, somebody's going to offend you. On purpose or accidentally. I mean, you'd be surprised the crazy stuff that gets said to preachers and preachers' wives. You'd be surprised sometimes what preachers say to other people and they get offended about. Somebody told me a long time ago, and it's difficult from time to time, if you're going to be successful in the ministry, you have to have the hide of a rhino and the heart of a dove. Whew. That's a hard one. You know, if you're going to be a successful minister for the cause of Christ, you got to have the hide of a rhino and the heart of a dove. We're all sinners here this morning. Hopefully you're saved, and if you're a sinner, you're saved by grace. And sometimes or other, you know, I'm not perfect. But guess what? Neither are you. Some people get so, such and such said this to me, and I just said I'm not going to come to church anymore. Oh, give me a break. What do you come to church for? You come to church to be under the teaching of the Word of God. There's going to be some people whose personalities rub you the wrong way here at First Baptist Church. I've had people tell me, "Pastor, you're way too loud." Well, sometimes that's probably true. But the fact of the matter is, why are you here? Well, you should be here because God says, "Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, and exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You need your battery charged spiritually. Most of you are out there in the secular world, and you're getting mud on you all week. You're hearing stuff that pollutes your mind. You're exposed to all kinds of stuff. You need to be able to come apart and get under the Word of God so that you can have your battery charged again so that you can keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ and meet some brothers and sisters in Christ who you know care about you and who will pray for you, who will say good things to you. I mean, good night, there was even a Judas in Jesus' band. And do you ever take a look at some of the screwball things Peter said? You know, somebody's going to forsake me. Not me, Lord! We don't live in a perfect world. We don't have a perfect church. You don't have a perfect preacher. You don't have perfect deacons. You're not married to a perfect husband. You're not married to a perfect wife. But thank God, He remembers our frame. He knows we're but dust. And He loves us anyway. He loves us anyway. A righteous man falleth 7 times, but you know, once he falls, he doesn't get down there and just wallow in the mud. It says he gets up again. If you've fallen down, get up. Don't be the carnal Christian who lays there in the mud. If you've been playing in the mud, take a bath. Get it under the blood of the Jesus Christ, and by all means, move along. Please do not be satisfied with being a carnal Christian who constantly has to have somebody stuffing a bottle in your mouth to keep you happy. It takes a lot of time to stuff bottles in people's mouths, and there's so much to do. There's so much to do. We need more people on the front lines, but the people who need bottles stuffed in their mouth, they're sitting on the sidelines. They're telling how bad things everybody else is doing. But you know what they're doing? It's real easy to sit on the sidelines. I was listening to some of the football game as I was finishing up the study notes and stuff last night. And there was one time that I felt like saying, "Ah, you better do that." And then I'm thinking, what an idiot. I could last about 2 seconds out there. Yeah, you better do that, all right. A big old fat guy out of shape, sure. And there's some of you sitting on the sidelines. You're pointing your fingers at this and at that. You don't like what's going here. You don't like what's going there. You don't like... You know what? Get up, get into the battle, and make a difference. Don't sit there on the sideline pouting and have to have somebody come in and stick a bottle in your mouth again. I'm just gonna go and I'm just not gonna come to church. Let me just tell you this. If you can't love and serve the Lord and be a part of this congregation, don't you dare just quit going to church. You find a church where you can go and you will grow and you will participate in it. The thing that gets me is people who leave and go no place. You know what that tells you? They're bottle-sucking babies. Christians who are carnal in their behavior can expect that God's going to discipline them because He wants them to grow so that He can have fellowship with them and He can train them to obey Him and listen to Him. God's desire is that we be saved and that we get in the battle. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's word is our spiritual food. Yes, it's our milk. But it's also our bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's not just our bread, it's our meat. Hebrews chapter 5. It's not just our meat, but I like bread with honey on it. In Psalm 119, turn with me, 103. Psalm 119. 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Sweeter than the honey sweeter than honey in my mouth. Wonderful and marvelous is Jesus' words to me, sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. Oh, praise God. Well, just as a physical man needs a balanced diet in his body to be healthy, the inner man needs a balanced diet of spiritual food. The baby begins with milk, but as he grows and his teeth develop, he needs solid food. So, Christian, where do you find yourself today? Are you sucking the bottle even though you've been a Christian for a number of years? If you are, and if you're busy bickering over toys and gifts and people doing this and people doing that, you're still sucking the bottle. You can't kick when you're pulling.